Now from the politics of climate change to what's causing it on the ground. Mangroves are nature's carbon storage systems and storm barriers and seafood incubators. They're a common feature of tropical coastlines around the world, but they're also quickly being mowed down for development. For her final story on deforestation in Indonesia, the world's Carolyn Beeler reports on one man trying to restore mangroves on the island of Sulawesi.
There's a spot in the village of Tonke Tonke on Sulawesi where people like to hang out at sunset. It's a boardwalk winding through a dense forest of mangroves. The trees cluster along the shore. Their tangled root systems poke out of the water like tent poles. Teenagers take selfies and families walk around with the leafy canopy as a backdrop. None of this may have been here if it weren't for Hidayat Palaloy.
Before, this area was not like this. It was just empty land, coastline, and a beach.
The mangroves that had always been here had been cut down. Without their natural wave protection, the coastline was washing away.
The erosion was constant. People say some houses on the coastline disappeared. People had to move inland.
Now, miles of mangroves protect the village once again, and that's partly thanks to Palaloy. His Indonesian Self-Growth Foundation has helped towns replant mangroves here on Sulawesi for more than two decades. His work is inspired by a childhood tinged with tragedy. He says his family raised fish in coastal ponds about 150 miles from here, where mangroves also used to grow. But eventually, without the trees for protection, erosion ate away at the shoreline until the ponds were enveloped by the sea.
For my family, these fish ponds were the main income, and when they failed, our income was gone.
His family was not alone. In the 1980s and 90s, the Indonesian government backed large-scale conversion of mangroves into fish and shrimp ponds. It was called the Blue Revolution, and it's part of why the country has lost 40% of its mangroves in the past three decades. Afterward, erosion hit many coastal communities hard.
I knew I didn't want to see another community experience what mine did, so that's why I started doing this work.
Flood-stricken Tonke Tonke was one of the first communities he helped.
The floods happened from January until April.
This is a man named Sainuddin, who lived near the coast in the 80s.
Every day, the water came into the house almost 2 feet above the floor.
Sainuddin and some other villagers started planting mangrove seedlings to stop the flooding. But not everyone wanted them, and some people threatened to chop the new trees down. In the 90s, Palaloy stepped in to mediate.
If he didn't help us to resolve the conflict, I'm not sure that this mangrove forest would be here now.
Palaloy is good at politicking. He started staying in Tonke Tonke and tapped local leaders like Sainuddin to plant mangroves, and he helped convince opponents of their benefits. Since then, he's spread his gospel of mangroves around the province of South Sulawesi. One of his converts was a crab fisherman named Bakhtiar. He led mangrove planting on the edge of the city of Makassar starting about 8 years ago. Now the protected water around those mangrove roots serve as nurseries for crabs.
After we planted all the mangroves, our business started to grow. One person can catch about 10 kilograms per day. Before, you could just catch 1 or 2 kilograms.
The replanting effort was so successful, Bakhtiar opened a crab processing facility. When I visited, there was a basket of live crabs clattering near the floor. In a back room, about a dozen women were expertly cracking crab shells and pulling out meat to freeze and ship overseas. Palaloy recognizes the long-term benefits of restoring mangroves. It's not just about erosion. They trap carbon and help fight climate change, too. But it's the more immediate benefits that help draw local support.
Coastal residents need to understand that this conservation effort isn't just aimed at conservation, but improving their economic situation. Otherwise, they wouldn't put in the work to maintain the mangroves.
Palaloy isn't alone in his efforts. Indonesian mangrove expert Ben Brown says the government there eventually reversed course after its so-called Blue Revolution.
The Ministry of Forestry spends around $13 million a year planting mangroves.
But Brown says these efforts are often badly executed and the new mangroves die. He's afraid the same might happen to Paloloi's mangroves in Tonke Tonke. The community only planted one species out of dozens native to the area, and that species only survives at a specific depth.
They failed to restore the original biodiversity, and so the whole coastal area is at risk of drowning if sea level continues to rise.
For now, the new mangroves in Tonke Tonke are thriving, and residents aren't worried about more distant threats since the waves have stopped washing into their living rooms. And that's where Hidaya Paloloi's priorities are, too, in the here and now, helping coastal communities protect themselves and make a better living. He just wishes he could have done the same for his family before their business got swept into the sea. For The World, Carolyn Beeler, South Sulawesi, Indonesia.